Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Basement. I am back in my basement again, and anytime I come into my basement, I usually get like pretty good guests to come on the line. And this is one that I'm really happy to have because it's a very unique perspective that we're going to get on baseball and the different levels, and maybe some little bit of the recruitment process. And then we're just going to also talk about just smashing home runs and attempting to throw your arm out while drinking as much energy drinks as possible. If you haven't figured out who I'm talking to yet, then you're not on Twitter, you're not on YouTube, you're not on social media whatsoever, because you should have figured out right now. I am talking to Eric Sim, a former minor leaguer in the Giants system, and just basically he is AKA the King of JUCO, AKA the JUCO Bandit. I call him AKA the Korean Canadian, the bomber himself. He is here. He is in the studio via cell phone from parts unknown in Canada, because unfortunately, I will apologize, Eric, us as people in the United States, you could tell us like three different cities in Canada, and I guarantee you we wouldn't be able to place where we're just ignorant. That's just all we are.
All good, all good.
Yeah, so So, Eric, thank you so much for jumping on. So where exactly are you in Canada?
I live in a little town called Duncan. It's nearby Victoria, which is around Vancouver, if you guys are a little more familiar to that. So I'm all the way on the West Coast.
Okay, so you're like right up above Seattle. So we think of Vancouver,
basically,
Seattle.
Yeah, very close.
The Olympics and stuff being there. So that, yeah, okay. Everybody, you know what? Everybody should know where that's at. That's one of the ones I think we can pinpoint. Is that where you grew up at, or where exactly in Canada?
Yeah, well, I have kind of a fucked up little background, but I was born in South Korea. I moved to Canada when I was 13. I immigrated. And then I grew up playing baseball here in high school. And then I ended up going to a junior college in Kansas for 2 years. And then I went to University of Florida after. And then I got drafted and played 7 years in pro ball. And then I hung them up.
Oh, wow. So were you playing baseball when you were in Korea? Is that where your passion for baseball started?
I did. I started playing when I was 8, around there, I think. And my dad just took me to some local Little League team, and then that's how it all started for me.
And then when you moved to Canada, I know people will probably like just jokingly say, well, you know, if you're from Canada, you probably play hockey or you probably play whatever. Like, what is the what's the high school baseball scene like up there in Canada? Like, does every high school up there have like a team, or did you guys have to travel far?
No. Yeah, it's definitely nothing like the States. So I know in all the States, most high schools have a baseball team, majority of them. But here we do club baseball, so no high school baseball teams, but it's like a club baseball team. So anybody around the area, right? Like, let's say for me, like my town, like we'll have like, I don't know, 20 guys playing and stuff like that. So it's really small, especially back then too. Now it's grown a little bit, but back then it was a lot smaller. When I played, it was like 15 years ago, right? So, it's definitely grown a little bit, but yeah, it's nothing like the States.
Yeah. So when you were up there, was there like say recruiters from colleges and stuff coming up to watch those travel games and everything? Is that how did you find Colby Community College, or did they find you?
Well, that's the thing. Like when you're in a small shitty town like in Canada, it's really hard to get recruited. So I actually didn't get maybe I wasn't good enough or whatnot, but I mean, I didn't get recruited until May of my senior year of high school. I know a lot of kids these days, they commit like when they're even sophomores and juniors of high school, right? So, but yeah, I didn't sign like my LOI, letter of intent, until May of my senior year. So almost until at the end of my season of my senior year, I didn't know where I was going. But luckily, my I heard about this story after the coach at Kobe. He told me after that they already had a catcher signed. I was a catcher, and then apparently he just like backed up last minute. They're looking for a catcher. Their assistant coach at Kobe Community College was Canadian, and his brother saw me playing back in Canada, and that's how I got recruited. So I was pretty fortunate to get that opportunity.
Yeah, that's a pretty unique story there, and everything that you know that goes along with that. So you get to and I told you before when we were talking about this, I was going to basically, you know, ask you to explain, like, because everybody will say, oh, he's going to go JUCO, or he's going to go D1, or he's going to go here.
Right.
Explain to everybody when everybody's just like, oh yeah, he's going to JUCO. Like, what is JUCO?
So well, it's a 2-year school, and that's the thing I wanted to kind of touch on as well. Is there's a lot of stigma about JUCO. You know, a lot of people think, oh, if you can't go to D1, you go to JUCO. No, it's not the case anymore. You know, and a lot of kids that are like that want to sign pro ball right away instead of going to a 4-year, because you can't sign until you're a junior of a 4-year school, right? So a lot of kids, like a lot of draft talent kids, will go to JUCO and they'll compete there, and then the competition level is actually really, really high. And that's the thing that really got me too, like out of high school. I mean, I was pretty good in high school, in my local area, you know, and I went there, and then first game of the fall ball, I was like, shit, I'm not even play, you know? So I had to really like, kind of like work my ass out of like, hey, like I can't keep on doing this shit. I gotta get better. So that really kind of kicked my ass to practice on my own and find whatever I can to get better.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted you to definitely touch on. I mean, my question probably wasn't as clear as it probably should have been, but it was just basically that, like, people are just, you know, I feel like that they think that if it's a lower-level school, it's, number one, lower level of competition. If it's not that D1, you know, SEC school, and I'm not, like, downplaying the level of competition that's there, but there is still other places that people can go. And it's just not like, hey, if I can't get into this D1 school, then, you know, it's a step backwards by having to go to a JUCO.
Exactly. And that kind of starts from a lot of the kids and the parents as well, too, because they have no idea. They've never done it. So they immediately think, oh, Division One is the school to go to, you know. But, I mean, dude, I played D1, man. I played JUCO. I played D1. I played Pro Bowl and everything, you know. Like, I'm telling you straight up. Like, my JUCO team and the competition I was facing in JUCO, like the schools like Howard College and Texas and stuff like that, those schools will kick the shit out of some of these D1 teams. I'm not even joking about that, because I've seen it. I played in it, you know, like it's no joke. And another funny story, like I went to USF, which is in Tampa, Florida, and we were D1. And there was another school called University of Tampa, which is D2. That D2 school had more guys drafted than our school my year. Like you can tell, like, so that tells you straight up, like, dude, like, the talent level is not, just because it's Division 2, that doesn't mean it's fucking worse. They had more guys drafted than us, higher rounds too. You know, like, shit. Like, we probably, like, I'm not sure if we would have won a game if we played against them, you know? We obviously didn't, because we were playing against, like, other teams like Miami and stuff like that, right? But it just, yeah, no, people just have no fucking clue. And that kind of sucks, because, you know, and I think it's gonna take some time for them to change their mind. But they just haven't seen it. I'm telling you, I've seen it. You know, I'm telling you straight up, and that's not the case.
You were in the minor leagues, and you can probably think about, you know, what you were eating. You probably weren't eating the best at times. You probably didn't have the money to get what you needed at times. Do you know what I mean? So.
Right, man. That's the thing. Like about minor leaguers, we're not asking for like millions of dollars or even 10,000 and shit. We don't need that. We're looking for like little stuff. Like if you're in the minors, you get paid like shit. I don't know if you people know, like a lot of rookie ball guys will get paid maybe like $2,500 a year to 5K a year, like, you know, if that, right? So that's really terrible. And when you're getting the meal money, it's just not enough. It's just not enough when you're trying to feed yourself, you know, four or five times a day, trying to play like an athlete, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just put two or three times a day. So you gotta do what you can. And a lot of kids, like a lot of the minor leaguers will, you know, they'll work in the off season as well because they're trying to make some money so that they're not so broke when the season starts, you know. So when that happens, what? Like, they can't really focus on baseball, can they? When they're working an eight-hour shift and then they got to practice, work out, you know, do their shit for like 3, 4, 5 hours a day. You know, that's a lot of hours, right? So, but I did that, you know, and I'm not saying, like, you know, they shouldn't be doing that because they should be doing it. You just have to. But at the same time, that's why I advocate for higher pay of the minor leaguers, because it's just not enough. And people like you or without the minor leaguers, or like myself or like other people, I know there are millions of other people that are helping the minor leaguers out, and it means a lot to them because they don't have shit, you know, like they don't have shit. So like you can give them like a, you know, like a little gift basket and they're fucking super happy. You know what I'm saying? If you send out to like a big leaguer will laugh at you. They're like, dude, what the fuck is this? I don't need this, you know, but yeah. it's a different story with minor leaguers. And I think that is cool in a way. But at the same time, obviously the pay system has to change at some point.
Yeah, it definitely does, man. Cause that's the type of thing that I think about like all the time, is just that, you know, we see a lot of the times, if you haven't gone, you see even at the minor league games, you see them in the uniform, and it's like, oh, they're getting to play the game that they love, which, yeah, they are.
Right.
But then you don't see what happens if you don't stick around until the end of the game. You, like, if you go to, I've been to, like, the low-A games down in the Florida State League, and the guys are carrying, like, all their equipment, all their bags, and all the stuff that they've,
it's just, you know, yeah, it's impossible for people to understand, and I get it. But that's why, like, I'm speaking from my experience. I've done it for fucking 5, 6 years. You know, that's why how I say it. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But like, lots of minor leaguers can't say that because a lot of the teams will have so much control over them. Like, if they send, like, some tweet out or whatever, they'll immediately ask them to delete it, which basically they're not asking, they're telling you to do it, you know? So I'm trying to kind of speak it up for them because I know how shitty it is. And just people just have no idea how shitty it is until you do it yourself, you know? And then that's why a guy like me or other people that's done it that are actually saying, hey, it's really bad, you know? So, and then that's kind of bringing the awareness of from everybody. Maybe hopefully one day we can change that.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Eric, I'm going to make Chris mad here because I ran over again because I start talking baseball. I start talking minor league sports. I just get passionate about it. And I could honestly talk baseball for like hours and hours and hours. But dude, I just want to give you a huge shout out from here in Pennsylvania, the whole way across the United States and up into Canada a little bit here. Everybody, if you're not following Eric, he is at eSim69 on Twitter. You got an Instagram, a YouTube, or anything like that? Or I just follow you on Twitter.
I got both of them at eSim. I got Instagram at eSim3400. And I have a YouTube channel. You can just search Eric Sim, and then you should go to find me. So,
yeah, and everybody remember, it's not Sims, it's Sim. Okay, because that's what
that's
everybody
right.
was just
that's
like.
Right.
Yeah, so just remember that.
That pissed me off. Somebody.
Yeah, just leave that S off because that's not his name, people. Okay. So
that's
everybody
right.
out there, follow Eric. Listen to this, and we'll see you guys again next week. All right.
Let's talk a little bit about what we're doing here with our Sim season. Here's the deal. Simming the minor leagues today on MLB The Show 20, and we're going to make decisions about what's the starting roster. Then I'm going to go over some things we can do to improve the team if you want to before the season starts. And then next week, we will sit down and we will go through the first month and we'll make any moves anybody wants to make. If anybody has input tonight, or wants to put input in next week, you get on the live show on the Podbean app, okay? So right now we're doing this live on Monday night. It starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be doing that again this coming Monday night, and we'll give everybody an opportunity to have some input on the roster and decisions that are being made in our Bucks in the Basement simulated season. All right, so let me tell you a couple of highlights from spring training, Craig. The top guys in OPS, Colin Moran leads the team. He went out and he played in 26 spring training games, 72 at-bats, and he has an OPS of 1,073, which is incredible. I hope if he does that all year long, I have to take back everything I said about him. Gregory Polanco's got a 940. Jason Martin ended up with an 875 over 25 games. Okay, or an 895 over 25 games, and Brian Reynolds had an 844. Rounding out the top five in OPS, Kevin Newman had an 813. Let's take a look at the batting averages. Jason Martin led the team with a 407 average. Moran was hitting 347. Brian Reynolds hit 301. Cole Tucker hit 296 in 27 at-bats, though, only. And Gregory Polanco and Luke Maley. I'm going to keep saying his name wrong. Luke Maley both hit 294. Maley only had 17 at-bats. Polanco had 68. So Polanco's is a far, far more solid number. Looking at the pitchers, let's take a look at the starters. Your best starter of the preseason, of spring training, was Joe Musgrove. Over 27 innings, he went 4-1. He struck out 26 with only 11 walks. He had an ERA of 2.00 and a whip of 1.19. Chris Archer had a whip of 1.26. Trevor Williams had a whip of 1.20. And let's see here. And then let's take a look at the other guys we put in. Oh, Mitch Keller. Ugh. Mitch Keller was bad in spring training. He had an ERA of 7.91 over 19 and a third innings and a whip of 2.02. That's pretty bad. Your guy Derek Holland had a 3.43 ERA and a 1.52 whip. And those were the five starters that we looked at, okay? And relief pitching is relief pitching. The notables I always like whip is being able to figure it out, like how many guys are people putting on base. Nick Birdie led everybody. He had a 0.79 coming out of the pen. He was very impressive. Okay, so that's where everybody fell. What are your impressions when you hear that when we sim spring training for the 2020 Bucks?
Keller jumps out. I mean, I didn't expect it to be like that. I was expecting more, but I don't know how the game sees him. I was a little bit more hopeful for that. Jason Martin, here's the thing is the guy, he didn't get a lot of shots. He got kind of brought in. He kind of stumbled and then Reynolds came in and he got injured at the end of the year. So I'm actually not surprised that it's looking at him playing that well. And it's probably looking towards us wanting to make him the fourth outfielder. Okay. Is what I would think that's like kind of pointing us towards.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's what we should do, but I'm trying to think about all this without the numbers in front of me. I'm a guy that has to have numbers in front of me. They're all going through my head right now.
Let me take a look here at the roster now and how everything shook out. We'll start with the players. Stallings, John Ryan Murphy, and Luke Maley all make the major league roster. Now remember, we can adjust this, but they took three catchers based upon what happened. They took Josh Bell at first base. They kept Frazier, Newman, and Kevin Kramer, along with Moran, Eric Gonzalez, and Cole Tucker. All those infielders, okay? They stayed on the team. And then outfielder-wise, Jason Martin, Brian Reynolds, Gregory Polanco, and Jared Dyson all made it. So I'm looking right now at who might have been somebody that didn't make it that you might have been interested in. O'Neill Cruz had a pretty good, I didn't get to it, but I noticed it. He had a fair spring training. He doesn't make the team. Brian Hayes doesn't make the team. And Jose Ozuna did not make the team.
Did we see it? Where happened to Guillermo Heredia?
Yeah, he didn't make the team. Guillermo was sent to AAA. And when I look at the rankings, Martin is actually rated as higher of an outfielder than Heredia. So,
I mean, which is for our league, it doesn't have to be exactly like the major leagues. I mean, I can definitely understand a little bit of stuff happened there.
Is there somebody, like if you really want to have him on your team, because right now you're only carrying four outfielders and you're carrying a ton of infielders. We could very easily, and you're carrying three catchers. So we can send somebody down if you want to put him on the team. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I mean, he basically, like when I look at his overall rank as a hitter, he's basically in the same ballpark as, let's say he's the same as Kevin Kramer in terms of being a hitter. And Kevin Kramer made the team, and he's the same as Luke Maley. Maley would be the third best catcher.
Okay. Well, here's the thing is I'd rather, to tell you the truth, I'd rather, I'm a catching guy. I'd rather keep three catchers if we could.
Okay.
But we don't need to keep, we don't need to keep Heredia up. He might make his way up. He might, shy a little bit, or there might be an injury. I'm fine with Jason Martin.
All right. Let's take a look at the major league roster in terms of pitchers. Archer makes the team. Williams makes the team. Musgrove makes the team. Keller makes the team. And they did not elevate Derek Holland. They actually decreased how good he was and said that he fell off in spring training. And he's actually below ranking-wise three starting pitchers that didn't make it to the majors. And he's behind multiple starting pitchers that didn't make it to the majors. They decreased him. He's got a 59 overall ranking now as a pitcher. He's not even as good as some double-A pitchers. So they said he had a terrible spring, or they didn't like what he had, and he fell off. So you're going to try to fit a square peg into a round hole here, or are you going to go with what they decided for you?
I'm going old school. I'm going square peg round hole. I got to have the Dutch oven on my team.
You want the Dutch oven on your team? All right. Let me tell you who made the team on the pitching side. You can decide which one of them you want to drop off of the team. Okay. Robbie Erlen. 29-year-old, he can be a starter.
Oh, got him from the Padres. Yeah, he made the team.
He made the team. Okay, Steven Brault made the team, of course, and Kyle Crick makes the team. Feliz makes the team. We have Richard Rodriguez makes the team. Nick Birdie makes the team. A relief pitcher by the name of Blake Cederlund makes the team. He is rated about the same as Derek Holland. In fact, the two of them are basically interchangeable, except for the fact that Holland is 10 years older. So you could send Cederlund down and bring up Holland.
I don't know if I want to send Baby Thor down. How could that happen?
Baby Thor is not as good as several pitchers that are in AAA right now, according to the game.
I put Baby Thor down in AAA, and I elevate Holland. I do.
Is that what you're doing?
That's what I got to do.
All right, that's what I'm going to do. Okay, now let's go through some of the players that didn't make it. I would love to hear what people think. If anybody's got somebody that they'd like to see that makes the team. So I've just given you what the roster was if you were paying attention. So if anybody's on the live show and they want to jump in, of course, I'll put you on. We can debate this. That's fine. But what we're doing is, so now Cederlund is going to stay down. Clay Holmes is in AAA. Chris Stratton's in AAA. Brandon Waddell is in AA. And Wee Chung Wang is in AAA. That's starting pitcher. Okay, so, and of course, Jameson Taillon, we kept down in AAA for realism's sake. So as we've gone through all the guys that are there, does anybody stand out to anyone, including you, Craig, that you're like, I really hate the fact that he sent this guy down to AAA?
No.
No.
Nothing really stands out to me, no.
No, nothing stands out to you, okay? All right, now.
No, here's the thing, there's a lot of guys on our roster that could probably bounce back and forth between. I mean, everybody knows that, but like, nothing really sticks out where I'm like, oh, that's not. I just want to make sure we have the Dutch oven. That's all.
All right, the Dutch oven's there. All right. So now, and now here's the thing: we are not setting this in stone until next week. All right, we're not setting this in stone until next week. So if you're listening to the On Demand show, you can jump in and give us your opinion next Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time using the Podbean app. You can call in and you can tell us what you think. Now let's take a look at the rotation. We have to set it. Who are your starting five and in what order? Because I'll tell you what the game gave you. The game said Musgrove, okay. Archer, Williams, Keller, and Erlen.
I don't see that. I don't see him as the starter.
Okay. So you want the Dutch oven in there starting? Or do you want Brault?
To tell you the truth, I mean, Brault threw his arm out, but if he would have thrown his arm out, I could have seen Brault taken on the fifth. So I would put Brault into that in our
Fine. Erlen is also a lefty like Brault, so you still have two lefties that are sitting in your bullpen. Who is your long reliever that you want? Who do you want them to tend to go to when they have to go long term in the game? You want Erlen? You want the Dutch oven Derek Holland? Is there somebody else that you're thinking of?
I was thinking of Chris Stratton.
Didn't make the team. No, I told you he made
what?
He didn't make the team.
Oh my God, I don't have this in front of me.
Let's go over
this
again.
Who else is the relievers?
Let's go over this again. Here's the relievers that I have in your bullpen. Robbie Erlen, Michael Feliz, Richard Rodriguez, Derek Holland, Nick Birdie, Kyle Crick, Keona Kella.
I would probably say Robbie Erlen. I would put him in as the long relief.
Do you want Stratton in there? Do you want to boot somebody?
No, to tell you the truth, like Stratton, he's another one of those guys we picked up last year. Him and Robbie Erlin, like other than one of them being, you know, right-handed, one of them being left, or whatever, it's they're pretty much interchangeable. So that one I'm fine with.
We've already gotten our first vote inside the chat room. Somebody saying that you got to keep Cederlund on the major league roster and send Kramer to AAA. What's your response to that?
Oh, it's Bucko Mike. Oh my God. That's one of my favorite guys to chat with, because he gives me a lot of crap on Twitter, and he's a funny dude. Some people get irritated by him. I just love talking to him. I'm going to deny Bucko Mike this, at least for right now. Can we have a week to think about it, Bucko Mike? Do you think we're going to have a week?
We can see how things go. You want to put this on the burner for a week? You can make this a trivia question that you could put up this week. And let people decide. Like, we could come up with our 26th man poll for our simulated league and have these two guys on and throw another guy in there, you know, and see what people pick. That's what you should do. You should come up with a 26th man.
We still have to stick to, like, the 13 pitchers.
We do have to do that. We do have to do that. So, I mean, So now, here, let's take a look at the rest of the pitchers, because we got to round this out and then we got to get to the lineup. So, Erlin is your long relief pitcher. In middle relief, it's got Feliz, Rodriguez, and Derek Holland, along with Nick Birdie. The four of those are considered to be middle relievers, with Crick as your setup and Kella as your closer. And you can have two setups or just one setup. So, but that's how it's set up right now. So is there any change you'd like to make there?
No, I wouldn't make any changes to that. I mean, that's probably realistic, and it's probably the way I would go as well.
All right, and coming out of the pen, in this order, this is how they're rated as which one is better compared to which one isn't very good in the middle relief thing. Feliz is your best middle reliever. Rodriguez is second. Derek Holland is third. Nick Birdie is fourth. Do you change anything there?
I'd maybe put, is there any, we just move Birdie into the second and bump the other guys back.
You want Birdie to be the second best guy in there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can do that. No problem. I got that. I got you taken care of. All right. What is your dream lineup? Because you know who's on this team. Who are your starters?
Yeah.
Give me the batting order.
Well, the batting order is number one is going to be Newman.
And he's playing short for you, right?
Yes.
Okay. Batting second.
Batting second is going to be Reynolds.
Reynolds is batting second. And he's playing.
Yes.
He's playing left field for you, right? So Reynolds is second in left field. And again, if you want to say something, jump in, folks, because we can make adjustments all the way up until next week here. All right, so Reynolds is in left field batting second. Who's third?
Third, I'm going to move Bell up to third. That's Bell's what I've batting always third. Wanted to do. I've always wanted to see Bell at third.
All right, we're already having fun with this one. We're having Bell go third. All right, who's your four hitter on this team?
Polanco.
Okay, so starting off,
I'm waiting for Bucko Mike's response to that. I'm pretty sure he hates Polanco.
All right, Polanco's in right field. So what you have here is you got a righty leading off, two switch hitters, and a lefty in the four spot. Who's next?
Yeah.
Do you go Moran? Do you go Stallings?
That's the thing is you go another lefty if you go Moran. I want Moran to be sixth, but I'm not thinking like who else I could put in. Maybe I put
The best hitter according to the game that's available for you to go to is Moran. Stallings is the second best.
Frazier
is actually a high contact guy, but he doesn't hit with a lot of power, so I don't think you want him in the five spot.
I'm gonna go with Colin Moran.
Colin Moran is gonna be at fifth. Okay, so righty switch lefty. So are you putting Stallings next? Who's your only right-handed hitter left for you to put in there?
I'll put Stallings in there, yeah.
Okay, Stallings is batting sixth. Okay, you have so now you got Frazier is currently the second baseman, and then center field, you have to make a decision on who you want in center field. I would assume you want to have Jared Dyson there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got Dyson and Frazier still left. They're both lefties before the pitcher spot.
I'm gonna put Frazier in at seventh.
Okay, and then you're going to put Dyson eighth.
Yeah.
So I think what we need to do is we need to take what we have now with these lineups. You can put them up on all the social media sites. People can sit there and look them all over. And the plan is that once we get to next Monday, while we're doing the show next Monday, I in the background will sim the all the way up to the current date. All right.
Okay.
And if I need a manager's decision on something or we need to make a move, we will then look to people and see while we're doing the game. So if you're listening live on Podbean, while we're doing the game, then you jump in and you give us your suggestion. That makes sense?
That sounds good, brother.
All right. That's the plan for next week. So you're going to get all that stuff up on social media. People listen to this. Then we're going to next show, when we do the next live show on Monday night at 9 p.m., we are going to take calls or suggestions if people want to type them in the chat room. You don't have to call in to be able to give us the suggestions, and we will try to complete this whole lineup for you and then sim up into the current date. And then very soon we'll be launching our Game of the Week broadcast, myself and Craig, doing a radio broadcast. It should take about 90 minutes, sometimes less, and you can sit back and listen to a ball game, and we'll be able to keep track of what would have happened. Now, one more thing before we get out of here, all right? Free agents.
Okay.
Free agents that are available. I'm going to send you this list so you can consider adding a player, because we're not building. See, that's the thing. We're not rebuilding here. This is a one-season thing, right? We want to win. So based upon what's available right now, we have to consider, would we go out and sign people, okay? Like, do we want to just have deep pockets and have some fun? But here are some guys that sit out there right now at the top of the free agent list for players. Yasiel Puig is available. All right? Ben Zobrist.
That's who you want. You want Puig, Puig,
oh,
Puig.
Oh, yeah, I'd put Puig out there right now. And then I want to get into a fight with the Reds and have him on the other side. It'd be great. Okay? Yasiel Puig is available. Ben Zobrist, at 38 years old, newly divorced, is available. Okay? You got Scooter Gennett. Good player. He's available.
That's your boy. That's who you want.
That's my boy right there, man. I put him on there. I wanted him in the offseason. We talked about Scooter, right? We talked about him.
I know. I was going to say before all this went to pot, that was like one of your guys.
I wanted him on this
team. It wasn't a bad suggestion. Everybody loved it.
No, everybody loved that one. Okay. If we're looking for any kind of pitching help out there, Pat Neshek is available. The relief pitcher, 39 years old, but still available. Okay, we have a 29-year-old Arodys Vizcaino, okay, and we have a David Hernandez, and we have a Colin McHugh. Colin McHugh is available. We got Zach Duke out there at 36 years old and a lefty if we want to add one. So we've got a few guys.
I want to add Zach Duke in a heartbeat.
Huh? You want him?
I want to add him in a heartbeat just for, like, I guess it would be just for, like, memory's sake.
Right.
You I love go, Zach. Zach Duke. Get, Zach Duke.
You want memories? We can go get Russell Martin. He's available. Just telling you. All right? He's available. Okay? Mark Reynolds is available. 36 years old, first baseman. I'm going to send you the list of the top guys that are available, okay? I want... Oh, you know who we get? Who else we can go get? We can go get the famous abuser, Addison Russell, shortstop. 26 years old, available, because the Cubs let him go. He's still sitting out there.
Oh, wow.
So there are some guys that you can grab up. So I'm going to send you a list of this. I want you to hit people up on what the 26-man roster should be, who should be the 26th guy. Ask questions all week long about, of these free agents, who would you love to see us sign in our sim league? And ask things like, what's the third thing? Oh, here's the lineup. What do you think of it? You know what I'm saying? Let's get as much input as we can from the listeners before we start this season. Let's have some fun with this. All right?
Until it starts on July 1st.
It's not
right?
starting
right,
on Chris? July 1st. It's not starting on July 1st. This isn't
I'm
happening.
Joking, brother.
This is. I just saw what NFL. You know what the NFL has to do? The NFL has. I just saw a thing today. They are changing the way their stadiums are, where only certain gates will be open, so they can have people stand 12 feet apart from each other as they line up to go in. And then only certain seats will be open, and you'll only be able to get food if it's ordered and picked up, like where you go to carry out, like where you're not near people, and you'll be told come up, and you're not supposed to leave your seat otherwise. I don't know how they're going to do bathroom breaks, but I mean, like, they're redesigning their stadiums just for this year. Baseball is nowhere near this, and the players don't want to play in front of an empty stadium. I don't think this is happening. I really don't. This sim thing that we're starting right now, this will be the only baseball you have in the middle of summer. I'll bet you that right now, as sad as it is.
Well, as sad as it is, but you know what? I'm looking forward to it in some ways just because, like I said, man, I just need at least some like realistic players' names. Like, I don't know. I just need something for baseball, man.
All right. This has been Bucks in the Basement. Good job, my friend. Liked your interview. I think we've done a lot of work here. We did the hardest part of this whole thing, and that's just wading through spring training and getting a base roster put together for the sim. And now this week we'll get fan input. We'll find out what people want to do. We'll figure out, you know, if they want any of these free agents, what they like about the lineup and don't like, if there's somebody we left behind in AAA that they want up instead of somebody else. We'll put it all together next Monday night live. It'll be available the next day on demand. Everywhere podcasts can be found and always at bucksinthebasement.com. Craig, you have a good night, bud.
You too, brother.
All right. Now I'm going to hit some cheering sound effects and get out of here. Like, it seems like people enjoy the show. Bye-bye, everybody!